Hi, I'm Jessica Steinberg.
And I'm Amanda Borchel-Dunn. Welcome to the Times of Israel's Daily Briefing.
Your update on what's important in Israel, the Middle East,
and the Jewish world.
Hi, welcome to the Times of Israel's Daily Briefing. It is Monday, May 23rd. I'm Jessica Steinberg. I'm joined today by political correspondent Tal Schneider and military reporter Manny Fabian. Hey to you both. Good morning.
Good morning, Jessica.
Good morning.
So the headlines are extremely constant right now, and we're going to cover a lot that's going on the top of our page, starting with several events that are thought to be related, including an Israeli strike Friday night in Syria, as well as the assassination of a senior member of Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps in Tehran on Sunday, and a foiled attempt by the Shin Bet of an Iranian operation to contact and possibly kidnap Israelis. There's also the ongoing debate of an IDF scholarship bill that has really wreaked havoc in the Knesset since last week. And we'll see what else we get to. Let's get started with Manny on these headlines right now, the breaking news. Tell us what you know and where we're going with it.
So on Sunday afternoon, a colonel in the IRGC, his name is Hassan Syed Khoudari. He was shot by two unidentified gunmen in the middle of Tehran, you know, on a regular Sunday afternoon. And he was later identified as a senior member of the IRGC. According to several Iranian and Arab media reports, he was very heavily involved in Syria over the years, and he had recently returned to Iran. And according to Israeli media reports, he was responsible for kind of overseeing operations and attempted assassination attacks against Israeli and Jewish targets around the world. Namely, I remember some reports listed attempted attacks in Cyprus, in Turkey, and in African countries. So interestingly enough, he is also blamed for a foiled attack that the Shin Bet announced just a few days ago, where Iranian operatives attempted to contact Israeli academics, some former defense officials as well, and used some sort of fake conference to lure them to Europe and potentially kidnap them or harm them there. So there's been a report that he also oversaw that operation. And then separately on Friday night, there was a strike in Syria at the Damascus International Airport. And that was thought to strike some sort of weapon transfer from Iran to Syria, where this colonel was heavily involved in previously. And just hours before that strike, the Israeli army's Arabic language spokesperson accused the nephew of a senior Hezbollah member that he was coordinating some sort of weapon transfers from Iran to Lebanon via Syria using civilian flights going to Damascus International Airport. So kind of all of these things all happened within a few days. These announcements from the Shin Bet, this announcement from the army, then a strike in Syria, and then all of a sudden, this guy who was heavily involved in Syria and possibly also oversaw attacks globally was then killed. Obviously, Israel hasn't claimed responsibility officially.
I happen to have been at the Kinneret for this past weekend. And on Friday night, I was sitting in the living room and I heard major jets going overhead. It was literally like it was over the house. And we thought to ourselves, okay, what's going on up north? Because they were clearly heading there. Thanks, Manny. It's helpful to sort of try and understand how it all works together. Okay, we're going to take a quick break.
Hi, podcast listeners. The Times of Israel is celebrating a decade this year, and I'm happy to invite you to our kickoff TOI at 10 live event series. Join us May 24th at Jerusalem's First Station for Who by Fire, Leonard Cohen and the Yom Kippur War. Author Matti Friedman will be in conversation with TOI editor David Horvitz to discuss his new book on the singer-priest's extraordinary tour for IDF troops in 1973. And of course, the there will be live music. If you're in Israel, please join us. If you're not, we'll share a recording after the event exclusively with our TOI community members. For more information and tickets, go to timesofisrael.com/TOI10. That's timesofisrael.com/TOI10. Hope to see you there.
I got married this Monday in the middle of a war.
You are not a soldier anymore. You are 50 years old. What is the matter with you?
It's like a couple of kilometers from here. Like my friend has a 4x4. Let's just go cut across the fields and go get him.
Israel Stories, Wartime Diaries. Voices that try to capture slivers of life right now.
And he told me, take with you a sleeping bag and a tent and just go.
I texted him after I was told that he was killed.
From their eyes, I was a traitor.
Everybody needs their blankie. Their teddy bear, something to make them feel safe.
I'm just another grandfather looking after his grandchild while his son is off at war.
These children of Hamas now will be the killer of my children.
I desperately wanted to talk about sex during my eulogy for Ido.
Everyone has to choose to be optimistic because we don't have room for pessimism.
Check out Israel Story wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Tal, it is Monday, and I imagine you've been following the Knesset quite closely and talking to people about this bill for IDF for released soldier scholarships for their education, which has basically been something we've been discussing for the last week because it's obviously a topic that's very much on the table right now. Where do we stand?
This is a very popular bill, and they were expecting the opposition headed by the Likud not to oppose it. I mean, they can, they don't want to support the government, that's fine, but the coalition says, you know, the opposition headed by the Likud can at least abstain and not vote against the bill. However, the Likud has been very combative opposition in the last year, and they are opposing anything proposed by this government. And they say this is not against the soldiers, this is just to topple the government. However, because the bill is very popular, this suggestion has made a lot of turmoil inside the Likud. The Likud people, such as a former almost chief IDF, Yoav Gallant, and other former, prominent ministers.
Sure.
They actually came up a couple of days ago and said, you know, we are unable to vote against the soldiers of Israel. We will either support this bill or at least abstain. Now, Netanyahu was, heading into a fallout within his party for the first time. People say, we are not. This is a red line. Mm-hmm. However, then came the latest obstacle of the coalition by, MK Zoabi, who aimed to topple again, to topple this coalition. And right. the Likud people immediately realigned and said, okay, if this is the case, we are going to vote against it. So right now we have the defense minister Benny Gantz coming back from the from the New York rally for Israel. He's on his way back as we speak right now, intending to put the bill to vote because they know it will embarrass the Likud heavily. Now you have a lot of demonstrations and soldiers because let me just say a word. The soldiers or former soldiers are actually already made commitment to pay for the school year, years, they might be in the first school years or they made their commitment, because the donations or the scholarship was already granted based on donors and other operations. So the commitment is out there. All they need to do is just, have a quick vote tonight because this bill have already passed its most obstacles. It just need the latest vote tonight in order to affirm it. Huge problem for the opposition, not a big win for the coalition if the bill is dropped.
It's toppled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yet again, a debate between the sides where the Likud claims that the money that the government is allocating is not enough. They say, we are opposing this bill. I mean, this is just an excuse, right? But they're saying, we are opposing the bill because it's only 66% finance for the scholarship, and we want it to be 100% because this government gives a lot of money to the Arabs. And this is, again, this is the Likud. This is not me saying it. They say this government gives a lot of money to the Arab citizens of Israel as if this is a wrong thing.
Right.
And because, they equate the Arabs or their representative with the terror supporters, this money is wrong. So, go figure those explanations. But, this is what's going to happen.
And what are the chances that really this will come to a close tonight in either way? In other words, in either direction?
My gut feeling is that some people from the Likud will not be able to come up to the plenum and vote against it. And they will just abstain or, run away from the presence. And then the bill will be probably passed. That's my gut feeling. But it will probably be in the late hours of the night, because I think the coalition will try to push it as to a latest hour as they can get.
Right. Okay. Manny, back to you for a minute. There's this IDF month-long drill that is coming up, that is happening. What can you tell us about that?
So this drill, it's called Chariots of Fire. It was supposed to take place last year, but right before the war in Gaza, it was pushed off indefinitely. So they're holding it this year now. And it's using a lot of things they initially planned and also some things that they learned from the last Gaza war. So just to touch on a few points, so it's mainly focusing on some sort of massive war erupting on multiple fronts. So that would be also Gaza, also Lebanon, also Syria. But the main focus is the northern front. So that would be Lebanon and Syria and fighting against Hezbollah and other Iranian-backed groups. So the army is really training for that, for some sort of massive rocket attack on the home front and dealing with lots of damage and responding and possibly even an invasion. They're training the troops to be able to push forward into Lebanon or into Syria. And there's a few other things that they're implementing. So during the war last year in Gaza, there was a lot of violence in Israeli mixed cities between Jews and Arabs, and along the highways there was some rioting. So the army's also kind of drilling, being able to move convoys through the country even amid riots. And then they're also training for, it's more like a hazardous material leak if there's a strike on Haifa's Bay area where there's lots of facilities there. And most interestingly, we learned that the Air Force is training for a long distance air campaign kind of strike, possibly or probably in Iran itself. So that's kind of the peak of it, which is happening next week in this month-long drill, where over the Mediterranean, the Air Force will be conducting these kind of long-range maneuvers to practice potentially striking Iranian nuclear facilities. So that's really the most interesting part of it. But in general, it's kind of preparing for this major, major war. And that's what the Army's training for right now.
Well, good to know what we might be seeing from the beach or from wherever we might be in this very small country. Thanks for that, Manny. And finally, Tal, there's quite a report on our pages as well about Foreign Minister Yair Lapid in tears as they discussed a budget bill for people with disabilities. He, of course, has a daughter who is on the autism spectrum. Tell us about the conversation, but also really people's reactions as our foreign minister became quite emotional and personal about his own situation.
Right. In the cabinet meeting yesterday, Yair Lapid, who is the foreign affairs minister, was part of the debate about, approving a bill to enlarge and expand the social services with respect to people with disabilities. This is something that has been in a debate for, many years. And, the welfare minister, Meir Cohen, is sort of a deputy to Yair Lapid. He's like one of the prominent ministers in his parties.
Right.
And you're right. During the debate in the government, Lapid said this is a touchy subject for him because him and his wife, Lihi, has been raising a daughter, Yael. She has to be around 20-something by now, but she has like 100% disabilities. This is his third child. And he was just talking about how it is to be a father to a child on the spectrum. And he was talking about the hardships and the blessings in raising her with autism and others. She has, you know, all basket of many disabilities. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about the physical and emotional pain that parents suffer. You know, part of the bill is aimed to help the environment that is trying to raise a child like that and expand the services, looking at everything from the point of view of the child or the person with disabilities, giving them the ability to define and maintain and kind of lead the way. So it's the new bill giving the patient, so-called the patient, a lot of authorities during the process. And he said, you know, this is the most important thing I will ever do, and burst out in tears, you know, talking to the minister about his daughter. So,
yeah.
Emotional Lapid, you know, Lapid maybe he was supposed to be the prime minister in August 2023. We don't know if that will happen. We right. haven't seen him emotional about not being, you know, maybe not being the next prime minister, but he's definitely getting emotional about his kids.
Right.
By the way, Jessica, let me just also mention that Yael has served in the IDF. Israel's IDF has an amazing program for kids with disabilities. We're talking about 100% disabilities. So this is, they have to volunteer, and the IDF has to make, you know, the IDF has to put a lot of effort and money into enlisting those people to make them feel as part of the society, engaged and serving the country. So, you know, it's important that kids like that, they're not just being served by the country, but they are also serving the country.
It certainly pushes all issues about disabilities to the forefront when you have a foreign minister who's so aware on a personal level about what it means. Thank you, Tal, and thank you, Manny, for being with us on today's Daily Briefing. It's Monday, and we will, of course, be back tomorrow on Tuesday. And in the meantime, wishing us all a quiet and peaceful day. Take care.
Thank you, Jessica.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Times of Israel's Daily Briefing. And thanks to our producer, Gilad Brownstein, and to Gili Amar for this out-of-this-world music.
You can find us daily wherever you find your podcasts.
And on our mothership, timesofisrael.com. Like what you hear? Consider rating us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify to spread the word.
And be sure to check out our weekly feature, Times Will Tell, released every Friday. Until next time,
Shalom.